97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to all in the Delaware Valley, besieged by another storm in the rains. Well, feels like we live in San Jose, Costa Rica, with all the tropical wetness coming down. Be careful on the roads. It's my morning warning. The morning warning. Be careful on the roads. It's bad. It's construction everywhere, and there's potholes everywhere, and there's rain everywhere. So just be careful. Watch yourself. So I don't want to bitch and moan all day long because, as they say, sports is back. Not sports are back. Sports is back. And I'm grateful. Then that's the extent of it. Because what transpired yesterday in a great sports day was continually worrisome about the Sixers and the Phillies for that matter. But the big story, obviously, is Ben Simmons and the knee. Shams Charania said that the MRI is negative. That's true. I can back that up. And he's okay. So he's not going to play the next couple of games, because why would you play in the next couple of days? You don't need him for the next couple of games. You need him for the playoffs. But again, we saw a team very lackluster. We saw a team that didn't fit. We saw a team that really did not look good against a horrific Wizards team. Let me just reiterate that. That Wizards team, what you're watching, they have played three really bad teams. The Spurs, the Pacers, and the Pacers didn't have Brogdon and Sabonis. With Brogdon and Sabonis, they're pretty good. But without those two, they are a hot dog meat. That's kind of what they are. They're not good. And then yesterday, that Wizards team is the worst of the three with no credible NBA players. And they struggled. They had a okay first half, and then they fell asleep in the third quarter, and it was an ugly third quarter, and then Joel bailed them out. And basically, that's how the story went. But again, you have issues with Simmons, and being off the ball doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Brett is dying to play his shooters, dying to play a style that just does not befit this team. That's the crux of the issue, is that we know how they're built, right? They're built differently than every other team that has credible on-the-ball scorers and shooters, right? The league is filled with guys that can score and create and shoot it. And they're all wings and guards. And the Sixers don't have that, right? They have very limited creators, shot creators, scorers that can come in and really light them up, light a team up. But we knew that. See, my biggest beef today is, we know that the Quark Maz is, and nothing against Shake, right? The Shakes of the world, the Quark Maz is, and these players just are not championship quality players. So you can't play them as such. You got to go back to what your core is and try that. But he refuses to try and play a style that is deliberate, that is, again, and I'll give Brett this, it's not the way the NBA is played, but we don't know. Before we say it just doesn't work, it can't work, you got to play it. You got to try to play differently than everybody else and then see what happens. I'm not telling you that is the panacea for the road to a title. But again, And I hate to use the term, the bully ball term, but again, it goes every game's the same thing. They don't play that way. They don't. Joe needs to dominate from underneath. Simmons has to have the ball in his hands, and you got to go from there. The minute you start your team with those two guys, you're different. You're different. You're going to pay a lot of money to those guys, and they're going to shape your team. Right? I mean, that's how it works. And so if you have those two, you got to devise a style that accentuates what they do. And that is attacking the rim and playing special defense. You have to play elite defense to win. You can't run up and down the floor. And I watch a team, and they remind me like of an AAU team that has very little plays, that plays no defense, willy-nilly. And I heard Jeff Van Gundy this morning on the morning show, and I disagree with, and you listen, they all protect each other. So I know Jeff. I covered Jeff when he was the Knicks. He took over for Riley. But he's going to protect Brett because he's not going to come on and say, wow, you know, so he's going to talk about the lack of talent. And listen, there is a lack of create. He's right to say when he says there's a lack of players that can create their own shot and score. But they haven't played the way. And it's funny because Van Gundy in the 90s played that bully ball style. Now, again, it was more conducive in that league back then, but that's how they played. And the Sixers have to be a throwback team and see if they can compete that way. But this is just not going to work. This is just flat out butt ugly. And again, all roads point back to Brett to somehow figure it out. And Ben at the four is not going to work. I'm telling you right now, not going to work. You got to have the ball in his hands, and you got to attack the rim, and you got to play defense. Their defense is woefully bad. It's amazing. They were seventh in defense before the shutdown, and this team is playing no defense. It's shameful defense, in fact, against bad players. So, you know, that all equals a first-round KO. And that's sad. And I'm kind of beat up. Phillies yesterday, why would you take Nola out? I just don't understand that. It's a good win the first game, right? You survive, and you put up big run, big numbers. And here you have a chance to sweep the Yankees. And you know, I don't know why you take out Nola. Nola was dealing. The best thing I saw yesterday was Nola on the mound, looking like Nola. Had great stuff yesterday, great movement. But you take him out. And then and the other problem that the Phillies have is I look at Rhys Hoskins and I go, dude, you want to play? You got a 3-0 cookie. It's a toll house coming your way. And he looks at it. He takes it. Ugh. He's got to be able to generate runs. He's got to be a run producer. You got to look to hack. You got to look to drive the ball. And without him and no power in the outfield, and right now no power third, you again, there's another thing. With a bullpen and a lack of power, that's a team that can't win. So this is what we're discussing today. Good morning, Chunas.
Hello, Anthony. Interesting day yesterday.
Yeah, not a good day.
No, it was another win, and you go, all right, you know, for the Sixers. Like, all right, they won. It wasn't pretty. I mean, they blew leads constantly. I mean, they pulled away in the fourth quarter, which is good. But again, it's a stinky Wizards team. And you're thinking they never ran away with it until the fourth quarter. Never.
Yeah.
First quarter, they never ran away with it. by the end of the first half, never ran away with it. Right? They go into the first half up 7.
Yeah.
And they never put their foot on the gas pedal. And I'm sure, you know, the Ben Simmons injury changed things in the third quarter. But, you know, I don't know. It's Joel Embiid had a fantastic game again, but didn't really turn it on until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but listen, he's the only bright spot so far.
I know, but
he's come to play.
But is that something with Ben Simmons going out? I know a lot of people were talking about that on social media. Like, oh, wow, look, Joel Embiid, you know, played his best when Ben Simmons was not out there. Stuff like that. You know, people were pointing that out. So, and it goes back to what I was saying yesterday before the game. Ben Simmons, without the ball in his hand, just looks lost. He looks lost. When Shake Milton is out there playing the one, and I was intrigued by the idea because I wanted to see how they would, you know, sort of incorporate Ben Simmons on the offensive end, I'm not seeing any of it. I'm barely seeing any pick and roll game with him as the screener. And when he does, it's kind of like that weak screen just so he can sort of fade back, then they can give it to him and reset the offense again. Like, you know, I was waiting for, and I saw it in the scrimmage games, I was waiting for the moments when Alec Burks has the ball in his hand and Ben Simmons set the screen and then Ben rolls to the cup and then Burks either has the opportunity to, you know, throw it to Simmons at the hoop or pull up for the mid-range jump shot because I know he can hit it. And I saw that stuff in the scrimmages. All of a sudden, I'm not seeing it in the last three games. And I don't get it. I felt very confident in the scrimmages.
Yeah, you know how I feel about the whole situation. You know how I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, take the ball out of his hands, you're taking the cape off Superman.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, you know, and not to say he's Superman because he's got a lot of work to do.
Yes.
And I told you he'd take a three, though.
Yes, you did.
Too bad.
Two.
Yeah. Too bad he didn't make it.
Yeah, I mean, and one
but
of
that was the, it's a shame. I didn't look at it. Can you play that he takes a three?
Oh,
yeah.
On one of the gambling apps? Yeah. That's a good question. I don't think you can. Maybe some offshore one you can.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, you know, it was just another one of those games where it's like, I'm not angry today. Like the other day I was legitimately upset when they barely won against the Spurs. I don't know. Am I more concerned at this point? Am I more like beaten down? Because they did win and they did eventually pull away and they ended up putting their foot on the gas pedal against a bad team. But I mean, we were talking about before the game yesterday, you and I, we were saying this should be a game where you win by 15 plus.
Yes. Yes.
And it wasn't like you didn't feel that way all game long.
No.
And then the Phillies bullpen is just a disaster.
Well, can I ask you a question about Girardi?
Yeah.
I don't want to complain about him because, you know, we're coming off the Gabe and I'm excited for Joe, but what's he doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why.
He hasn't been great, has he?
No, he hasn't.
He's kind of been quizzical.
Now,
I don't know.
I'm not going to give the man any excuses, but it is weird.
Yeah,
right. You have that 8-day layoff,
yes,
and guys miss starts. Guys, all kinds of weird stuff happens. So I'm hoping.
I'm not coming down. I'm just kind of pointing it out that my expectations were a little different.
But here's the thing: against Joe Girardi, it was a 7-inning game. It's not like he was at 88 pitches going into the 7th inning of a 9-inning game. To me, it's so much different. Let him close out the game. Let him pitch all 7. If you go to extras, you go to extras and you go to the bullpen.
Yeah.
And your offense just screws you that day. Because they did yesterday, I mean, only scoring one run in that second game. But to me, if I'm Joe Girardi, I go, all right, yeah, he's at 88 pitches. I know it's still early in the season, but he's pitched 6 strong of a 7-inning game.
Yeah.
So you know what? Let me give him the 7th. If he goes over 100 pitches, if he gets into some trouble, okay, I go to the bullpen.
Yeah.
But you pull him and, you know, if you're Joe Girardi, do you have any confidence in anyone that you go to?
No.
That's why you got to keep Noel out there. Like, no. Tommy Hunter has a career ERA of 4.10. No, that went up yesterday.
Exactly.
No. You know, the Trevor Kelly got out of it, but he has an ERA of over 5 in his career. Austin Davis pitched in game 1. His ERA is at like 36 this year. what are we doing? And that goes back to Klentak again.
Right.
But it also goes back to why'd you keep these guys over Liriano?
Yeah, well, we've asked that question. We know that answer is money.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, it is ridiculous because here's the thing. I know nobody wants to go into luxury tax, right? However, if the difference is wins, aren't you spiting yourself? But you playing up, it's one thing if you're, you know, you don't want, you're nowhere near the luxury tax and your goal is just to save money when you build the franchise. But they are at the threshold, right? They're close to the threshold. And so at that point, it becomes counterproductive not to keep Illyriano, who you know is going to be better than this band of slop.
Yeah, last year was his first full season coming out of the bullpen with Pittsburgh. And he was just fine. ERA right around 3 in 60 appearances.
The thing is with Liriano is he's credible.
Yeah.
Right?
None of these guys are.
No, exactly. Exactly. And that's the problem. That's the problem that we face when we're looking at this whole thing.
Yeah, and then when I hear Hector Neris wasn't available for game 2, I go,
what?
He threw one pitch in game 1.
Yeah.
He threw one pitch.
Yeah.
And now he's not available in game 2?
Yeah. Yeah, go figure.
And it's a 7-inning game, so if you go, you're not going to need a save, because if you win in the bottom of the seventh, you win in the bottom of the seventh. If the team takes the lead, if the Yankees take the lead in the top of the eighth, all right, you still have a chance in the bottom of the eighth. I don't get it, and this bullpen's awful, and you're right. Some of the decisions Girardi made, and I'm not going to start.
The biggest problem, or the co-biggest problem with the bullpen, is just the lack of power.
Yep.
Like, I know you scored 11 in the first game. That's great. You don't have enough power. And if Hoskins, did you see that pitch he took?
Yeah, right down the heart of the plate. And his body language, his reaction to it, and it freaked me out. Because that pitch came right down the middle on 3-0. And then it came down right down the middle on 3-1. And that 3-1 pitch, he like kind of put his hands in the air. Like, he knew he should have swung.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he's looking for walks. And you know what? He ended up walking that at bat. He took another strike, fouled off a few pitches, walked, and he hears, "Oh, what a great at bat!" No, it wasn't, dude. You're Rhys Hoskins. You're in the middle of the lineup here.
Right.
If there's a 3-1 pitch down the middle of the plate, you're swinging.
Right.
And don't take it a strike and then complain to yourself like, "Oh my God, I should have swung." When you're guessing that much on a 3-1 fastball, man, you got some bigger problems right now.
Yep.
Big time.
Yep. And therein lies a huge issue with that.
Big time.
A huge issue. Because you have no power at first and third and 2 outfield spots. You can't win that way. And I love JT to death, but he's a gap hitter. Don't take you out, but I mean, he's a guy that's, to me, a quintessential number 5 hitter.
I like him in the 2-hole. I'd rather have him in the 2-hole than Hoskins.
Well,
but Hoskins gets walks, and
yeah, I mean, I like JT more down. I in a great lineup, he hits 6th. In a good lineup, he hits 5th. You get what I'm saying? Well, his skill set.
Yeah, yeah, like you say, he's a gap guy.
Yeah, and who can take you out? But again, you know, the between the Sixers and the Phillies, I'll say this to you: TGFF. What's that stand for?
Thank God for the Flyers.
Thank God for Flyers. We'll have them today against Washington at 4:00. Up until then, we will talk about this basketball team. Is there any salvaging? Congratulations to the Union. Great run, man. Shame. Great game last night. Great run for those guys. Cuz Radio Tunis, we're just getting started on a Thursday.
Sports are back, and I've been taking in all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. You know, of course, this is Andrew Salchunas, and I've been putting a ton of money down on basketball, hockey, and, of course, baseball. And I hit on our fightins yesterday, but today I'm looking at the orange and black to continue their winning ways in the round-robin tournament. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app. The app is super easy to use, and whether you're a seasoned bettor or new to wagering, you'll find what you're looking for in just a few taps. And once you win, FanDuel pays you out in as little as 24 hours. Best of all, FanDuel Sportsbook will let you place your first bet risk-free. Just place any bet you want and get up to $500 back if you don't win. So type in FanDuel.com/Fanatic to get started so that they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel.com/Fanatic. Again, I'm looking at the orange and black today to solidify one of those top two spots in the Eastern Conference. And I would like to see that with a win today. 21 plus in present New Jersey or Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for terms and restrictions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Cuz Ray of the Tunis. Hanging out. Thursday. I'm so mad. How could you play this way? If we could figure this out. If we could figure it out. How come he can't figure it out? I mean, you listen to the calls the first hour of the show. These guys know what they're talking about.
It goes back to what
Listen, people, you know, and listen, I get it. Not everything on Twitter is brilliant. I read the comments. They know what they're talking about.
And it goes back to what
all
we said yesterday.
All those tweets coming in about how they should play. These guys know what they're talking about. I don't know how Brett misses it. How do you not? Again, the fundamental question that we ask. And you know what's funny? And I love Jimmy. You know I love Jimmy Lyon to death. That's my man, right? But even Jimmy, when we were arguing, you remember that he was down with the moving Simmons off the ball. And I told him, and now listen, to his credit, when I brought up Thibault in the starting lineup, he was with that. The only thing that we really disagreed on was I said, listen, it's tougher for an offensive young player to make the impact than a guy who focuses on defense. And you remember he disagreed with that. Well, you know, they can make mistakes defensively too. Yeah, but again, the mistakes that a young offensive player makes kill your entire offense. Right or wrong?
Yes. No, you're 100% right. It does.
And that's why I go, what are you looking at that you, it's so obvious how you have to play. And it's so obvious that the Cork Mazes of the world and the Nettos and the Shakes can't play significant minutes in playoff basketball when there's men playing.
And like you said multiple times.
What's Shake Milton going to do against these dudes?
Yeah, he can't D up. And
Come on. We
were texting about it yesterday. Shake Milton hits that three at the end of the first quarter to help me out and cover. But remember before that, the play before, he gets completely beat. It was just one-on-one, the isolation. The guy goes right by him. Shake fouls him N1. And it was just like, it was weak defense. Totally weak defense. And it doesn't fit with what you're trying to do or what you should try and do.
Everybody, I love the dunkers, but you get the hell out of here. The kid needs the ball. If you're not going to give the ball, then trade him. I mean, seriously. Because Simmons at the four is a waste. He's a waste at the four. Waste. Ugh. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. Give me the Flyers. Shake song.
This is the only shake you're feeling?
Yeah.
Cats.
How about Toots breaking my balls?
Go Cats.
Why?
He loves the Capitals.
Oh, okay.
He's a Caps fan. He likes the Flyers, you know, but he's got, he's one of these, I got a soft spot for the Caps.
Let's go back to your NHL 94 days.
Yeah, it goes back to Rod Langway. Yes.
That's awesome. But Ann, all this goes back to our conversation yesterday where we were saying, how come we can see things and it's just like these teams don't? Like, we can see that the Sixers aren't playing to what their roster is constructed. We can see that the Phillies bullpen, we knew the Phillies bullpen sucked when they made their 40-man roster for a normal season. Right, yeah, like if the season started in March, like it was supposed to, we knew that the bullpen sucked.
Yet,
no, here we go. We're going to go with this again. We're not going to bring the guys that they brought in. All the guys that they brought in either were released, or they kept the guys that have career ERAs over five.
Yeah,
and it's like what are we doing here?
I know.
Well, because Trevor Kelly has a weird arm motion. I know he got out of the inning yesterday, but
I know.
His ERA is plus six.
I know. Come on, dude.
Like, Reggie McClain throws 80 miles per hour.
I know. It's mind-boggling to me.
Now, there are a couple guys in the bullpen where I go, all right, at least I feel somewhat comfortable with them, and it's Alvarez, it's sometimes Neris. I mean, Neris is flip of the coin sometimes. And then, you know, Adam Morgan, when healthy, is okay. And he came in and got out of the inning.
Funny, Adam Morgan is Rivera. Compared to anybody else.
Well, that's the thing. So he comes in with the bases loaded yesterday after Tommy Hunter can't get an out, and he doesn't allow a run after that. He gets out of the inning, strikes out Garner, then turns forces a double play. And it was like, wow, great job, Adam Morgan.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's like, he's Mariano Rivera compared to the rest of the guys.
Joe, South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe!
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Joey?
How you doing, buddy? All right, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about the Phillies with the managers and all.
Yes.
Because, what they say is, if you listen to all these shows, we don't do analytics, we don't like it, we don't use it. These guys can't play without it.
I know.
They don't know the regular game anymore. The game's not there.
Yeah.
So when Joe does what he does, he's doing it through analytics because he knows he can't get through to these guys.
Well, I don't know. Do me a favor, Joe. Take your turn your radio down.
Okay.
I don't think it's the players. Like, Bryce Harper told you all you need to know about how he feels about analytics.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know why you would take Noel out in that spot.
Well, because he must have read something on a computer.
Yeah.
They might have said, you got to take him out now because his arm hurts.
But forget about. I love your line. He read something on a computer.
Yeah.
That's great. That's such a great line.
I mean, that's all they know. They don't know anything else.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Joe looks down at that bullpen and says,
oh, yeah.
Really? Who am I going to go to?
Yeah. Well, he has no choice. He really has no choice.
Right.
He has nothing that he can do. We're blaming Girardi, but I think all the managers practically do the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a shame to watch the game that they can't play it no more the way we remember it.
I know.
That's the thing.
I know. I agree with you. But here's the problem. They are so fundamentally screwed.
Oh, man.
If Rhys Hoskins is this. If Rhys Hoskins is going to take a cookie because he wants to walk,
right.
They got no shot going anywhere. Forget about, short season, seven inning doubleheaders, all this other nonsense.
Exactly.
They can't go anywhere.
Well, you hear the announcers. You hear the way they call the game. Oh, he got another walk, isn't that? I mean, come on.
No, well, they got to be.
Yeah.
Not Pollyanna, but they have to look at it more positive.
They got to look at it more ways than that. Yeah.
No, I'm with you, brother. I am, Joe. It drives you nuts.
It drives you crazy. I mean, because you're older and you don't understand what's going on with the game, I don't know. I guess
no, it's not about old. It's not about that. It's about you know better. You know better. That's it. Girardi made a mistake.
Real bad. Yeah, real bad. And he's an old school guy. I mean, he's not a dope. I mean, he's no idiot.
Nope.
But it's like, Let me look and get this guy out of here. His arm hurts. I mean, come on, man.
I hear you, pal. I hear you.
Man,
you're hanging. At least it's back. All right, that's it. At least we got games to watch.
Yeah, even though they're awful, we watch them.
Yeah, I know. I know, brother. Thanks, bye. Buddy. Be bye, safe, guys. All right? Watch you yourself. Too, take it easy. I don't know. You're in a doubleheader, and you got Nola, and he's dealing. Just finish the game.
And it's a 7-inning game.
Well, yeah, that's my point.
Just go one more inning.
Just finish the game.
And you know what? If you lose in extras, you lose in extras, and that sucks because your bullpen's terrible.
Right.
But at least you had a starting pitcher who they term the ace, right? Yeah. Aaron Nola's the number one, and you're pulling him after 88 pitches.
Yeah.
If he's the ace, let's go. And again, I want to give Girardi the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure there's some sort of team doctor that's telling them, hey, because we had this weird off season, and then spring training came to a halt, and then we had an 8-game halt after the series of the Marlins. I'm sure they told him something that he can't go over a certain amount of pitches.
Yeah.
Opening day, remember, Aaron Nola was only scheduled to throw 80 pitches. They took him out after, I think, 79.
Yeah.
So maybe it was the same rule after that 8-game layoff, but come on. We keep on talking about it. It's a sprint. It's a 60-game season. You're now 2-4. You could have been 3-3 sweeping the Yankees in a doubleheader. And you pull your starting pitcher, your ace, and you bring in a guy named Tommy Hunter, whose career ERA is over 4. I think it's over 5 in a Phillies uniform. What are we doing here? And it doesn't help that they scored one run.
Right.
Because Andrew Knapp was in the starting lineup.
Right.
Because JT Realmuto, you know, God forbid,
right,
catches 14 innings.
Correct, my friend. What did you think of the 7 innings? Did you like it?
It was confusing because when they got to like the 6th inning, I was like, oh my, wait a minute. The next inning's the last inning. For the Phillies' sake, I loved it in game one because if they had to keep on going with the bullpen. Austin Davis, who is this Austin Davis? He's another guy. He gets four runs yesterday.
I know.
They're lucky it was a 7-inning game.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't,
yeah,
you know, they're all of a sudden, it's 11-7 after 7.
Yep.
And the Yankees probably come back and win in that first game.
Yep.
A baseball man, I didn't like it. No.
Well, that's my question.
No.
Because I didn't either.
It was weird. It threw off the entire flow of what a normal game would be. If it's a 9-inning game, Nola probably goes an extra inning.
And that's where it made no sense to us. Right?
Yeah.
That's where you went, what? Yeah, it makes no sense. Joe, you're in Deptford. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Ann, how you doing?
How you been, buddy?
Good, man. I'd be better if the Sixers would give me stop giving me so much agita. I wanted to talk about defense, and if I had time, Ben Simmons. But the key, Ann, to them doing anything in the playoffs, number one, I think they're toast. I've seen Miami play during the down in the bubble. I've seen Boston play. I actually watched the whole game the other day without Jimmy Butler. Spoelstra just tells you how much a good coach does.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watched the game, man.
Yeah, I did. I saw it.
Weren't as athletic as Boston. And I don't know why Brett Brown doesn't do this. The biggest problem, man, is they can't keep anybody in front of them. They can't defend the pick and roll. They don't use Embiid because he's always late getting to the shot block, defending the pick and roll. And Spoelstra played primarily almost the whole game. He was in a zone defense.
Yeah.
He threw Boston in a tizzy. And Brett Brown will try it once or twice. They score a bucket. He gets right out of it.
Yeah.
It's like if you want slower foot defenders, if you're going to play Korkmaz, you're going to play these guys that aren't athletic. Even Milton can't stay in front of people. Uh-huh. I tell you, you beat foot speed. You put him in a zone defense. And I don't understand why for the life of me that he don't throw this in once in a while and mix it in. Because it throws the other team into a funk for a little bit. And if you watch Thibel in college, he's a great defender. He was even better at the top of the zone when they put him in. He got his hands and was blocking shots like left and right. And I just, for the life of me, don't know why Brett don't try this. You know, and he should do it during playoff time.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You hear my frustration, right? I mean, I thought I sussed out how they're supposed to play. Early on, the whole year, I mean, you listen to the show. We talk about it all the time. I don't understand what he's thinking.
Yeah. It's going to cost him his job, definitely. But the only thing I don't agree with you on, Ant, I respect your opinion.
Sure, yeah.
Me and you just see Ben Simmons differently. Uh-huh. And I'm going to give you an analogy because I've seen enough after all this time with the guys.
You ready to move on?
45 years of watching basketball, if you can't coach a guy by now to shoot the basketball, it's, to me, it's like a Major League Baseball player that can do everything. He can run. He can throw. He can play good D. But if he can't hit, if he can't shoot, if he's refusing to shoot, it's like all that other stuff is diminished. Mm-hmm. It's the major thing you have to do as a basketball player, and I think it just gets glossed over. And I don't think he's ever going to do it, Ant. I really don't. And it's going to be a shame because
Now, again, he took 2 threes yesterday, right?
I don't even care about the threes. I can't tell you how many times, Ant, I watch a game. He's wide open at the foul line. He don't even look at the rim.
Yes.
I would take him out and put him on the bench.
Yes.
Jackie Mullen wrote an article on ESPN last week. I don't know if you read it.
I saw
His high school coach said that that's what Brett Brown should do. You know what Brett Brown did during the summertime? He went down to Australia and he said, you know what? I can take you out of the game if you want. What do you mean I can take you out? Don't say it. Do it.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you your job, you moron. I don't get it.
No, and I hear you on a couple things, all right?
And Mikey, this is wrong with him saying you can't take him out of the game. You can take him out of the game.
Well,
if he pouts, whatever, it's going to cost Brett.
Yeah, but I understand where Mikey's coming from because, again, the hard-ass thing doesn't work with these guys. That's where Mikey's coming from, and I agree with that.
Yeah, but look at the soft. The soft approach hasn't worked, Mike, so what other recourse do you have at this time?
I hear you. But let me ask, because I know you've made up your mind on Simmons, and that's fine. And I understand the fundamental issue of shooting the ball. I do. Believe me, I do.
Well, he doesn't even finish around the rim well.
But hold on. Forget these three games. During the regular season, before the stoppage, he was their best player, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was playing well.
Real quick, and he was attacking the rim.
But even when he attacks the rim, I don't think he finishes well.
I think you got to go back and look at the regular season. I think he finished well. He really did.
I'd like to see a stat on it. I see him throw up so much weak crap.
Forget about stats. Go back and do all the games on TV. Just go hit a couple of them. I'm just saying that he.
And I haven't missed a game since the guy came into the league. I've seen every practice. I've seen every.
I believe me. I know you're a great basketball. I believe that. I know. You don't have to. I'm not questioning what. I believe you. I know you're a guy. We talk. I know you're a great basketball guy. I just think sometimes we have a, and I'm guilty of it because I'm a bigger pig head than you, right? I'm a pig head. I'm pig headed in the worst way with my opinions. And sometimes that clouds are exactly what we see. And he really did finish around the rim. He hasn't done it these three games, but during the regular season, he did. To your point, he's got to shoot a mid range jump shot. He just got to do it.
I mean, you don't even look at the basket, and it's amazing. Like, if you're the coach, how do you let him get away with that? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a guy 10 foot off of him. His head don't even look at the rim. I call a timeout and say, your ass is sitting down until you learn to take that jumper. It's unbelievable that this is going on for this long.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I do.
It's going to cost him his job. He said, like Mikey Mitz says, you can't do that. You have to do it at this point. I don't care if he pouts. If he pouts and he's going to be a baby like that, then you move on. But you got to get that message across. And I'm tired of, like, treating this kid with kid gloves. It's over with. This is ridiculous. He's the number one pick in the draft, and the guy refuses to shoot. We can't underestimate that. We got to stop worrying about Neto and Korkmaz. If he doesn't take his game to another level, we're never going to win a championship. And that's
I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. He needs to be at another level for them to win. Yes, you're 100% right.
A lot of stuff you say about these guys playing, blah, blah, blah. But in the grand scheme of things, Ant, when they came back in this bubble and you saw that he isn't going to take that next step,
he's not playing the right. And again, Joe, I got to run, buddy. Thank you. But here's my issue. He's not playing in the right spot. That's not an alibi or whatever, but he's not playing in the right spot. He's got to have the ball in his hands. I mean, that's the problem. Coming up, I got to ask you about your own personal treasures. Because I unearthed a couple last night.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I'm curious what you guys think. All right, you know what we're talking about. A little let's get cup crazy. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Got some open lines. Jump in now. Cuz Radio. Tunis. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.